fantasia digital embarca numa viagem sem volta, entra num beco sem saída e encara um labirinto sem lei.
Hi everyone, this is Phil Jones, and this is Shouts to the Sanctuary. That's the new series of podcasts I'm starting. Why the Sanctuary? Well, it's Saturday morning and I'm not at the Sanctuary Cafe in Brighton. I'm in my apartment in the centre of Brazil. But I know there's a good conversation going on there, and I want to be part of that. So thanks for the miracle of the internet and the miracle of and podcasting. I hope to join the conversation that goes on there. Saturday morning at the Sanctuary, a lot of good things get discussed. Let me fade this music out. This the format of this show is going to be quite improvised stroke, informal stroke, humming and ahhing. What I'm going to do is I wanted to respond to a few of the things that Ron and Ollie and Burke had been saying in the podcast we did a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago we had a mini symposium down at Brighton. And what was it about? It was basically about digital tools. We were going to talk about a lot of things. We were going to talk about how people store their information and organize their ideas. In the end, we talk mainly about user interfaces for this kind of stuff and user interface design in general. And we talked a lot about podcasting because that was what we got excited about. We talked about user interfaces for audio and what you can do with that. So that's what I'm going to respond to in this podcast. But at the same time, I'm going to play some music because, of course, you know, music's something I like. And in fact, I'm quite... I'm going to inflict things on you that I think people should maybe, I think you should listen to. I think I'm an evangelist, and I'm going to take this as an opportunity to do that. So what I'm playing at the moment is from the CD called Batidas Urbanas, Projeto Microbio de Frevo, by Silverio Pessoa. This is based on music from the northeast of Brazil, Recife, and type of carnival music called Frevo. This is called Frey Vibe. It's just a kind of remix based on the music. What I'm going to play you in a second is Me Down Chirinha. I gave a little cry, I think that means in Portuguese. It's, who's it by? It's by Sebastião Lopes, but this is a remix by Zé Guilherme. Let's play that now and then we'll get on with the talky stuff. This is pretty weird, I think.
Let's treat. Desse cheirinho pra mim. Bote, bote, bote mais um bocadinho. Com esse cheiro eu vou pro céu devagarinho. Me dá um lenço mandarim. Bote um pouquinho desse cheirinho pra mim. Bote, bote, bote mais um bocadinho. Com esse cheiro eu vou pro céu devagarinho. Me dá um lenço mandarim. Bate um pouquinho desse veneno pra mim. Bote, bote, bote mais um bocadinho. Com esse cheiro eu vou pro céu devagarinho. Me dá um lenço mandarim. Bate um pouquinho desse cheirinho pra mim. Bote, bote, bote mais um bocadinho. Com esse cheiro eu vou pro céu devagarinho. Para alegrar o coração do Julio. Me dá um lenço mandarim. Bota um pouquinho desse cheirinho pra mim. Bote, bote, bote mais um bocadinho. Com esse cheiro eu vou pro céu devagarinho.
So classic, amazingly strange for me. Anyway, the mini symposium we had last week included Ron Crisley, Ollie Sharp, Birken Eskikaya, and Graham Lally, and myself, Phil Jones. Find recordings of it at www.zen. That's Z-E-N 36511. .zenzen.co.uk/weblog/aural.html. That's Aural. That's Ron's new series of podcasts called Aural Contraception. Big up to Ron, because Ron got that stuff recorded, got all those discussions recorded, and has made a whole lot of MP3 files available of them. And listening to them again, I'm pretty intimidated, because I am an R and I kind of interrupt people the whole time, which I kind of think is acceptable in podcasting, more or less. And everyone else speaks so fluently and without R-ing and interrupting and sounding just inane. So people covered a lot of good stuff there. Particularly today, I'm going to talk to them about the audio things. I mean, the question I was asking. I mean, firstly, people started talking about their approach to information tools, and I knew Ron had a particular interest in audio. And the first thing he started talking about, if you listen to his initial remarks. Was that he was a big user of audio books, which he started getting off the internet, and to such an extent that once he got the habit, he actually started getting, when books weren't available as audio books, he got the ASCII or the text version, and he fed them through a voice synthesizer and listened to them in that form. But I mean, interestingly enough, he uses the word reading when he talks about listening to books. I would have always used the word listening, and I think that's a cultural. That's worth noting that, which of these two words you're going to use when you talk about taking in something which is traditionally in a book format. As I say, if it comes into my ears, I would have called it listening, and it's very clear that the way he uses the word reading there. So one of the things I was asking him is what's the difference between audio and read text? And this kind of led to quite an interesting discussion on we've got the use of audio for perhaps things that we wouldn't expect to use it for. I mean, Ron is a philosopher, and of course the history of philosophy is quite a is an oral one rather than a written one, or at least the early history of philosophy is. But of course it's now become something which is extremely carefully written and extremely carefully read. I mean, particularly philosophy, maybe more than any other academic subject, is the closeness of attention of reading and the careful the weighing up and the arguing over the meanings of the words is something that's fundamental. So it's quite interesting to know how that would change, or rather, what would be the difference of something like philosophy that returned to an oral way of doing it. And the thing that the point that Ron made original, or the point that struck me, was that as things have become written, so they've become much more individualistic. The written document is something which is the record of an individual's act of discovery or an individual's act of research. But Ron was drawing attention to an alternative use of philosophy, which is one rather about personal accommodation to the world, personal understanding of the world. And he pointed out that that might actually be something that you can get at in another form, which might be the sort of, you know, thing the sort of discussion you would have with other people, you know, proverbially in the pub. Or in the Sanctuary Cafe, and that got us into a slightly later into a slightly related discussion about the role of dialogue, because of course, you know, I mean, early philosophy, Plato writes most of his or all his things in the form of dialogues, and dialogues have got a long tradition. Even today, people write dialogues. So there is something interesting about this format of a discussion, and one of the things which it's seen, and essentially, if you're writing it, you're writing in a rather individualistic medium, but you might fake it by writing an imagined dialogue between two fictional characters, and that goes on even today. So, and of course, what you can do with an audio medium that you can't do with a written medium is you can record a real dialogue. So you can record in formats such as, I mean, there's some interesting taxonomization, I guess, or class, at least sorting things out into different types. Let's not use the word taxonomizer. Let's not call that taxonomization simply because that might be overloading it with extra things, but all right, you know, there's an interview format, there's a dialogue format. One of the themes of our discussion was about whether the tools could create a sort of asynchronous dialogue format. On the internet, we're very used to asynchronous communication. We're very used to email. We're very used to certain kinds of discussion forums, which essentially form a sequence of people commenting and replying. Some discussion forums have a tree shape, or they're people can reply to individual comments. I mean, if you think of something like Slashdot, or you think of many discussion groups actually have I suppose it goes back to the original Usenet as well. Many discussion groups have this hierarchical structure with points and count and replies and replies and replies, and each one is the root of a new subtree of replies. And there were some interesting ideas about whether that could be done in audio and how it would be in audio. Let's suppose somebody created an initial file and then other people could listen to the file and they could press onto the button and it would go beep. And in fact, I wonder if I press... No, it doesn't work. I was pressing something to see if I could make a beep sound. A bit later on, we're going to go into the idea of inserted sounds, but we'll come to that in a minute. So, you know, you might have something which has somebody speaking, and then at some point it might go beep, and at that point you know that you've got about 5 seconds to press a button on your player, and if you listen to that, it would open up a sub or a comment that somebody had added to that point, or open up some further discussion. It's essentially a hyperlink within the audio domain. And that's what, for example, a lot of people who have been slightly skeptical of podcasting have worried about. Dave Weiner, who is, you know, one of the early exponents and advocates of podcasting, pointed out that another very interesting commentator, John Udall, who embraces a lot of interactive media, including screencasting and sort of recording yourself giving commentaries to interacting with programs and recording what's going on the screen at the same time, was skeptical about podcasting exactly because you don't seem to have the what we're used to now on the web, which is hyperlinks deep into particular parts or hyperlinks out of particular parts. We don't have a kind of very good way of navigating a hyperlink hypertext of sound. I think that's something which probably people are starting to work on now, and I'm quite interested in doing some experiments with myself. What are the sorts of hyperlinks you can do? I mean, okay, here are several questions. How do you indicate a hyperlink, or how do you indicate something that people are encouraged to interact with? Following that, how do you add them? What's the sort of interface for navigating a hyperlinked set of sounds or of text? What's the right interface for constructing that, for when you want to interrupt a text and add it? Should we think of it in terms of, and what's the right structure? Should we think of it in terms of a traditional hierarchical discussion forum, so that you do have some indication that when you click on something, it goes beep. If something goes beep and then you know you click and that opens something up? Or should we think that all we're going to do is we're going to append one comment after another? I can see the attraction of both of those. I'm somebody who is very interested in the possibility of more fine-grained linking. In another podcast, I'm going to come back to some of the things I'm interested in terms of what I was calling typed threaded discussion, but I'm going to start calling tagged threaded discussion because part of it's going to be changed. And I've got another project on the go, which I'll talk about a bit in another podcast, which is also about fine-grained addressing of certain kinds of information. So that, to me, is quite attractive, that we can hyperlink direct to something very precise. At the same time, audio is a medium which we expect to flow. What we do with audio is normally we have kind of long, well, you know, music is obviously a long continuous flow which we kind of sit back to listen to and we let wash over us. If we're used to some of the more, our notion of spoken sound is very often the lecture, the talk, which we pay attention to, which maybe, you know, some questions and answers at the end, or a format like radio, even when radio kind of goes into a more, well, you know, radio is interesting because radio has tackled a lot of different formats. I mean, I listen to radio, BBC Radio 4 a lot, I think there are some excellent formats on BBC Radio 4. And one format is the format that is used on their morning slots of In Our Time and Start the Week, which both feature, say, three people and an interviewer who kind of asks some fairly open guiding questions to experts or, you know, or people who know things and encourages them to talk about them for 5 minutes, 5 to 6, 7 minutes, and then other people in this small group start to chip in and talk to them. I want to try doing something of that format soon. But at the other, going away from that, you can get radio which has got far more interactivity, far more sound effects. Sound effects is something that I think is going to be quite interesting. One of the things that Ron brings up in his discussion, just to make a quick aside, and even as you hear me making asides here, and if you think this is annoying, that might be an indication of how it would be if you really had interrupted asides in an audio stream, but maybe not. Maybe it's okay to kind of meander backwards and forwards. Depends on what you're doing. If you're sitting here on a train listening to this, or you're driving, I don't know if backwards and forwards meandering is going to be good or bad with that. Hopefully maybe somebody who's got opinion on that can write an email to me at interstar@gmail.com. Or probably this is going to be on a web log, of course, and that will have comments enabled. So, you know, anything I say that you find controversial, I would love to hear some feedback. Or if you're going to make a podcast to respond to this, and I hope some people will be doing that, then we'll get feedback that way. And then maybe somebody can kind of like cut them together. In fact, there's one of the things I'm doing here is I'm stealing ideas from the earlier conversations at the ThoughtStorm Symposium, and you can see new things as a remix of the old. I noticed the word remix is now becoming quite popular as a term for things you do, well, remixes and mashups. These are both ideas that originated in music but are starting to become applied to other sorts of digital media, which I'm going to be really pretentious. I'm going to say is might be another example of music heralding from Jacques Attali's theory that music is in some ways foretells historical development. He's got a sort of historicist a notion of history based on certain kinds of it's kind of an economic historicism, but he thinks that music is a sort of rather abstract and flexible medium in which you often see trends appear earlier than they do in other things. I think I'm going to do a lot more about Jacques Attali later on, not this podcast, but in future podcasts. Anyway, so what we've noticed, so let's just pull back a little bit from this ranting and meandering. What has happening is ideas like remixing, mashups or bootlegs, in other words, putting one song to the tune of another, as they say on that comedy program, his name forgets me. Anyway, I name I forget. I'm going to talk about that as well in a second. Let's calm down. Right. Okay. So mashups, remixes, things that you do with music are starting to become things that you do with other digital media as well. And you can see that might start happening. How would it be to apply those ideas to the kind of text or the spoken text that we're used to? Now, in what Ron called his meta podcast number 12, he quotes Ollie phoned in, or Ollie recorded a podcast on his phone, or recorded an audio file on his phone. He didn't podcast that himself, but he gave that to Ron, and Ron included that. So he sampled that, or he extracted a bit of that into his own podcast. And you could see that one of the things you would certainly like to do, as well as making hyperlinks within podcast, is to copy and paste, or to quote and sample audio from somebody else's and use it in yours. And that could lead to some quite sophisticated notions of remixing. Anyway, while I'm on the subject of that, it suddenly occurs to me that let's have one song to the tune of another. I'm going to play from last year. One of my favourite albums at the end of last year was by the Kleptones. The Kleptones, I think, were Brighton-based. Or they certainly seem to play in Brighton pubs at some time in their history. They do bootlegs, that is, taking different songs, and they take music from one artist and vocals from another artist, and they kind of put them together and make them sound rather... This was really, really doing it for me last year. This is the Kleptones album called A Night at Hip Hopera. This is a mixture of Queen plus various rap artists. And it's great fun. And I'm going to play... What am I going to play? I'm going to play this one, I think, because it's about radio as well. Hurricane, we got cloud. Other DJs, put your head out. I'm popping on a string, I'm paid to sing a rhyme. I do my thing, I'm in a lava lamp. Except my brain don't tell them I'm always freaking a pigging. But I rock well, the Betty Duke of the Ranch. And then I bust a tingle. Got more rhymes than Jamaica got mango. I got the pig link, that's the end of my stumper. Shake your rope, bar. So that's a combination of Beastie Boys, Intergalactic, and I think Root Down, and I think there was something else in there as well, on top of a soundtrack which I'm pretty sure is 90% Queen's Radio Gaga. That's a mashup or a bootleg. So audio is a very flexible medium. This is something that I don't think was really talked about at the symposium. In the way that we do kind of, I mean, one of the things you can do with audio that you can't do is pretty much, okay, well, one thing that was talked about, and we talked about the fact that audio is something you can do while you're doing something else. You can listen to it, you can even produce it while you're doing the housework or while you're driving or while you're sitting on the train going somewhere. It combines it. It's unlike visual medium, unlike video, or unlike having to read text, where you're using your eyes as well. It doesn't hog so much of your attention and your brain power. I guess that's because, after all, I mean, a lot of the brain is used to do visual processing, and I'm not sure how much of the brain is used to do sound processing. But I suspect it does take up less of it. And one of the things that's interesting about that is that you can mix sounds together. You can create new things by overlaying one thing with another. So if we go back to how we were talking about indicating, let's say, hyperlinks. Now, of course, hyperlinks are indicated by changing their color or something like this. Now, how are you going to indicate something like a hyperlink in audio? Well, you can overlay sounds to it. One of the things Ron brought up in his discussion was he wanted to talk about. Because he converts written text into sound using Victoria, I think her name was, or the female voice of his speech synthesizer, he wanted to have some kind of extra markup on text to make it easier for example, speech synthesizers to choose different voices for different characters. And you could imagine a whole range of metadata added to dialogue in order to added to text in order to facilitate it sounding a lot better or make certain things clearer when it's turned into synthesized speech. And that leads us to the idea of, you know, how else you might mark up speech. Something that's quite exciting about the sort of slightly wackier zoo radio they call it, a format where people sort of shout and you have, you know, little sound effects in the background, is this idea that you can overlay lots of sounds to add emphasis, to add meaning, and it can get quite comic. I mean, I'm quite happy to have something comic. Okay, the phone is ringing now, so I'm going to pause this and hopefully it won't all go horribly wrong. Okay, so it wasn't done in one take. That was me. I answered the phone then. I hope this has not done damage to this recording. I'm recording sitting in front of my PC. Other people have got fancy high-tech gadgets now that they can walk around with and record while they're walking down the street. And I can see there's a lot to be said for that. But me, I'm sitting here with several boxes on my desk, my laptop and a separate stereo where I'm playing the CDs and the Creative Extergy, which is the only thing that gives me a decent microphone input. It's not a very good microphone, but at least it's less noisy on the Extergy than on the normal microphone input of my laptop. So it's, I think that we can learn a lot. There's some things that quite interest me about being able to use sounds, overlay sound effects, and use several layers of sound. Something that I want to use my podcast for is to evangelize great music to people. And I'm sorry to say, I think all this is great music that I'm playing. And so I'm going to play some more great music. One of my favourite bands. One of my favourite bands is a band called Current 93. There used to be a guy who was a bit of a sort of Aleister Crowley-ite Satanist industrial guy who kind of turned into a rather weirder folk musician. Now he's pretty much seems to have turned into a Christian, although with a taste for fairly unorthodox, you know, he reads a lot of obscure and apocrypha and things like this. This is Current 93 with a longtime collaborator's Nurse with Wound, and this is called Mothering Sunday. And I'm getting this I think it's called Mothering Sunday. Anyway, yeah, it is. And I'm playing this because not only because it's one of my favourite bands, but as an excuse of a piece of music which outrageously just uses background sound over literal sound effects, and it's kind of, it's a bit like Chris Morris, I guess, on some of his jam stuff. But I mean, it manages to be kind of hilarious and very, very scary at the same time. So let's play this, and just to show that podcasts from my podcast are always going to feature fairly extremely odd music.
Off to the bed and the death swirls, and the purpureal magnificence of the psycho pomp who came, and the sun who ran with joy, twisting all the red-green leaves. I reach by eye through window pane and saw you gasp out your life and start. Are you a man or are you a mouse? What strange last words to leave. The lips of one who may be damned or may be saved. Or maybe lost. What in the heat of your mind's last seizure? Did you see or did you mean? When the night was inoculated by legion. The world is legion everywhere. In the last lick of night. The last taste of black on my lips, pink swizzle foam as the helicopters stutter through the long corridors. Down we go. Here in London, we are legion. The sickness that waits in the heart or in the home, and the lights are always on in your eyes. But in your heart they were clicked suddenly shut. Now as the sunset cough drop red holds the birds into the squidding blue sky. Always in the night when the lights are bright. And his voice calls for the police or for the British Legion. All nothings drifting through they were. There is no one to come now. The time is nowhere, and we are legion. Your heaven or your parents. Mother and Sunday after the service, and the vicar shakes hands with you all. And if you but knew, he is waving goodbye. Legion, someday, today, legion. Check the hands of the watch for time, and do not say this time is mine. This is the night and you, your meeting with the dreaming faces of the sea and the moon. All shine, someone bright appears. And says, your time is mine.
Okay, I'm sorry. Not only do I find that hilarious, this music, I don't take it seriously. It's deeply amusing and wonderful. But not only that, I also think that is quite an interesting idea for how a podcast user interface might sound. In other words, okay, it's not going to sound that spooky, right? I mean, I'm not. I mean, just like people have kind of black screensavers and sort of things. I'm sure you can kind of skin your MP3 player with sort of heavy metal type stuff, umlauts and dripping blood and this kind of thing. I think that's gone all buzzy for a scary reason because, no, maybe not. I hope this buzziness isn't coming out. I bet it is. But most people are not going to skin their audio interface with kind of spooky sounds, or even Dangerous Creatures 3. But I think you might find one day we are listening to interfaces which contain recordings of people's speech combined with synthesized voices, sometimes overlaid, and various sounds indicated over the top, which different indicate. I mean, okay, sounds over the top, which are providing metadata. Sometimes voices will get echoes or other sounds. Other effects. I've just lost it now. Anyway, look, we're on minute 44. I mean, your time is mine, and I've gone beyond the 40 minute limit. So let's play you something a bit happier and a bit more less scary to take all that those chills away. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll come back to the next one. Hi to everyone in listener land, particularly Ron, Burkan, Ollie, Graham, and Sanctuarians all over the world. This has been Phil Jones, Podcast 1, shouts to the Sanctuary, and hopefully I'll be back with more crazy music and disorganized ideas soon. Be happy. Titty-cock-a-lay, got some